Welcome to the podcast series, Blindingly Obvious. My name is Minnie Baragwanath, and this series is based on my book by the same name. Blindingly Obvious is my story. It is a candid and deeply personal story about my life and work as a blind woman, social entrepreneur, and innovator. I wrote it in order to share my experience of blindness with others, and in the hope that it might raise awareness and invite others to actively create a more accessible future, one that is full of possibility. A wonderful voiceover artist and now friend of mine, Romy Hooper, has narrated my full book, all 24 chapters. I do so hope you enjoy listening. It is an absolute pleasure to be able to share it with you.
20. Being the change. Although the legal threat we received the same day we launched Be Accessible at the Auckland Museum in May 2011 proved to be more a shot across the bow than anything with actual teeth, it threw me terribly. As I had never in my life been threatened with legal action, I did not know how seriously to take this, meaning I took it incredibly seriously. I actually thought Be had been killed off before we were even out of the starting blocks. For several days, I was paralysed with fear. The other reason why I felt such shock was because I now realised that some in the access sector were going to fight our progressive and bold move towards advancing accessibility, tooth and nail. This I was not prepared for. However, we had a deeply aspirational social change programme to run and a very big international sporting event to prepare for. There was no time to lick our wounds. We had to embrace our inner entrepreneurial spirit and, pardon the rugby pun, keep our eye on the ball and just get on with it. And let's not forget that we had just been awarded the most incredible contract. At last, we had enough money to continue beyond the beginning of June 2011. Phew, what an enormous relief. And enough money to perhaps actually realise our dream for an accessible Aotearoa. The first thing we did was to plan a road trip around Aotearoa to introduce Be Accessible to the 12 RWC host cities. For almost a month, we travelled up and down the country in a friend's camper van, presenting to the local community at halls, community centres and sports rooms. A truly wonderful man by the name of Alan Armstrong, who had a company called Evac Chair, offered to drive us all the way. He also allowed us to have his entire camper van sign painted with the B logo and imagery. Such unbelievable generosity. I would not be surprised if his van is still covered in this signage 12 years on. We started our trip in the South Island and ended back in Auckland. At each city and community, we were met by the most kind and generous locals, all deeply curious and largely enthusiastic about who we were and what we were doing. Both local and national media also picked up on our tour of the country, and I conducted radio, TV, and newspaper interviews everywhere we went. Our key messages were simple. We wanted to make the RWC 2011 fully accessible. We wanted to work with each of the host cities to ensure a consistent approach was taken to assessing the access to all the venues, tourism providers, and local businesses. We shared our idea that after the RWC, this would then create a legacy of accessibility that we could all build on for the future. We shared that while the RWC was an end in itself, it was also, very importantly, a Trojan horse for social change. We shared how, with a team of specialists from across the access sector, we had painstakingly and totally redesigned how to assess from a holistic and pan-impairment perspective to ensure greater representation. We shared how we wanted to employ local coaches from within each community so they could build up local relationships, and their salary could also be reinvested back into the local communities. We had a local economic development framework underpinning our model from day one. Each organisation that went through our assessment would receive a rating, either just starting, bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. The reason we had a category called Just Starting was because we felt that simply by taking the first step, anyone who voluntarily signed up for a Be Welcome assessment was signalling a genuine desire to advance access. They might have a really long way to go, but by using the Just Starting sticker on their business, it let Access citizens know they had started their journey. Each business would also receive a comprehensive report detailing what they were doing well, as well as where they needed to improve. They were also assigned their own Be Welcome coach as their guide. The other service we soon offered were Be Confident workshops, where we worked with businesses to unpack their knowledge of Access and to support their teams to become confident in providing outstanding service. Our hope was that gradually, little yellow Be Accessible stickers would appear on businesses, cafes, hotels, community centres, sports venues and government departments up and down the country. Our hope was that gradually, the groundswell of social change would occur, and more businesses would voluntarily do the right thing and get an assessment. While each business would have a simple yellow sticker, the detailed information would then be located on our Be website, providing a detailed breakdown of Access features and provisions that business had available. No other organisation in Aotearoa had a public record of which organisations they had assessed that the public could access. This directory was a critical piece of the equation. While this road trip was underway, the team back in Auckland were busy finalising the assessment programme, which by now had hundreds of questions about accessibility built into it. We then had to develop a digital matrix tool that weighted each question with a value, and could then produce a result that aligned with one of our 5 ratings. The team were also frantically identifying and then training up a stable of assessors up and down the country to carry out the assessments and get the information from the venues back in time to be loaded up onto our website, ready for the start of the RWC 2011 in September. What were we thinking? But somehow we did it. Within less than 6 months, we had designed an entirely new approach to assessing, identified and employed coaches across Aotearoa, trained them up, carried out the assessments, and then loaded all that information onto our website. This was nothing short of a miracle. Again, it was testimony to what can be done with a shared vision, a shared sense of what matters, and a shared sense of the possible. Oh, plus an outstanding team, and yes, some actual funding too. The other piece that was essential to this work and the rollout of our RWC work was, of course, the marketing and key messaging. We turned the language of disability on its head. We talked about Access citizens, Access customers, the Access economy, and the Access dollar. The spending power of people with Access needs as tourists and simply as local customers. We talked about the aim of Be Accessible to be a call to action for the citizens of Aotearoa to be accessible. It was an invitation to our nation to do the right thing and not to wait to be forced to do it through legislation. It was a spirit of generosity and goodwill. At times, one of the things some people in the disability sector have accused us of at Be is that we're elitist. The funny thing about this is that I can now see that we were exactly the opposite of elitist. We were actually trying to open up access to everyone. We were trying to make access accessible and to democratise it, if you like. By talking about the fact that all of us will have an access need at some stage in our lives, whether through birth, accident, or ageing, we were trying to show that access affects us all, which it does. We were trying to remove the us and them mentality, the binary mentality, and introduce more of a spectrum and a continuum of experience that we could all ultimately share. While many people loved this reframe, it actually also seemed to annoy a number of disability organisations and advocates who seemed to want to keep the lines of separation firmly in place. Be Accessible was trying to invite all of us to connect with our humanity. Who could have known how disruptive and threatening this was to be? As Q and her husband and business partner, Dean, ran a production company, we also had access to the most incredible film equipment and talent. Combined with my background in television and my experience both doing voiceover work for commercials, as well as having been a reporter and presenter, this proved invaluable. Instead of just sending out a stock standard written newsletter each month to our growing database and community, every month we scripted and filmed the CEO update, Dean and his team would film me in various locations around Auckland City, and I would give a verbal update on what we were up to. Each update would then be translated into New Zealand Sign Language for the deaf community through a wonderful organisation called C-Flow. This newsletter and video update was incredibly well received. In fact, a number of our corporate partners started to do something similar with their CEOs shortly after. Having this amazing film and production resource at our fingertips also meant we could regularly make short videos to promote our work and our growing customer base up and down the country. These were most engaging videos and were so effective at getting people's attention and growing their interest and access. The other unbelievable opportunity we had was to create a documentary about B and about accessibility social change in the 21st century called To Be Me. Over the first couple of years, we filmed almost every part of B. We filmed our leadership program and participants, our B Welcome program, the team, our board, and our key partners. Somehow, we just believed that what we were creating with the B movement was something very special, and that we were uniquely placed to capture this story as it unfolded. How very precious and incredibly fortuitous. Who could have known just how handy all that television experience I had would now prove to be? Almost as if it were all meant to be. In any social change, there are people known as early adopters. They are the pioneers who do not wait for something to become mainstream or popular before they get on board. They just do it. One such early adopter of the Be Welcome approach was the Comfort Quality Hotel in Wellington, which was managed by the most divine man, Olivier Lacour. Olivier wholeheartedly embraced our approach and philosophy. Our team came in and looked at the physical space. Could someone in a wheelchair access the hotel? Could a blind customer have a positive experience of their stay? Could a deaf person access all the hotel had to offer? Did every customer feel welcome? Over time, Olivier set about implementing every recommendation our team made, to the point that the CQ Hotel became a beacon of accessibility. The hotel offered a range of fully wheelchair accessible rooms with wet area showers. His staff all started to learn sign language so they could all greet deaf customers and ensure they felt truly welcome. They even created an entire menu using New Zealand Sign Language and employed deaf waiters. He had provisions for guide dogs and ensured all his staff were regularly trained in our Be Confident program of customer service. Olivier started taking the initiative, offering the hotel's foyer as a space in which local artists with access needs could exhibit. A local blind man, who was an amazing pianist, played regularly for guests, and the access community regularly held their conferences and events at this world-class venue. Olivier also soon started to sell the virtues of accessibility to other hoteliers and local businesses. He would often ask me to come and present at local Chamber of Commerce events in order to help us promote our message of access, equity, and great customer service. What an absolute rock star. We soon realized that these early adopters were an essential part of the B story and the advancement of access. So, as a way to really grow this type of influence, Q and I came up with the idea of creating the Fab 50. The what, you ask? It was a network of influential New Zealand leaders. We realised that one way we could really advance the access message was to invite well-respected New Zealanders, just like Olivier, to become champions of access. And that is exactly what we did. We actually ended up with nearer to 65 champions of access in the end. But the Fab 65 did not have the same ring to it. This incredible group was made up of business leaders, community leaders, access leaders, government leaders, and entrepreneurs. We had leaders from the tertiary education sectors, the hospitality sector, major property developers, and social change leaders too. They ranged in age from 20 to about 70 years. We tried to equip each Fab 50 member with key messages about access that they could use when they were giving presentations in their particular sectors or areas of interest. And we arranged events and get-togethers in order to create a powerful network between these leaders. Goodness, We had a lot on the go. It was wild and wonderful, and there was still more to come. Before long, a number of our Be Welcome clients started to ask us about employing Access citizens in their organisations. At around the same time, we were also approached by an official inside government who wondered if we might be willing to pilot an accessibility employment initiative. In the spirit of entrepreneurship and social change, we took up this wonderful challenge. And before long, our newest program, Be Employed, was born. The gorgeous Jake Mills and Sarah Mitchell were now brought on board under the skill and guidance of Leslie Slade to deliver this new program. Our mission? To create professional pathways for the much underemployed, yet massively talented, 21st century Access employee. For me, as the founder of Be Accessible, seeing all this unfold with all this amazing Access advancement underway was pure gold. It was a dream come true. One day in 2014, I received an unforgettable phone call. I had been nominated to receive a Queen's Honour. I was to be awarded an ONZM at Government House in Auckland later that year for my services to disability. I was overwhelmed and deeply humbled by this honour. I was to have the enormous privilege of receiving a number of beautiful awards over the next couple of years, all of which I deeply treasure. But more importantly, I see them as symbols of accessibility being shown the respect that our work deeply deserves, and testimony to the incredible work of my board, team, and the wider Be whānau. While there were many surprises, both good and bad, during these early days of Be Accessible, sadly, there was one reality that none of us were prepared for. At the end of 2011, we celebrated the graduation of our wonderful inaugural Be Leadership cohort at a spectacular Auckland event. For many of our leaders, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience in which they were seen, celebrated, and acknowledged as leaders. Whānau came from all across the country to be with their loved ones at this incredibly special event that was all about them and their leadership journey. For one of our amazing leaders, Rena, the act of simply getting from her home in Rotorua to the leadership program every month had been nothing short of a miracle. Her access needs were very complex, and ensuring that she remained safe and well during her trips to and from the program, as well as during her time on the program, was a huge deal and required a lot of very careful planning and execution. However, she just thrived on the program. She blossomed and bloomed. On the night of her graduation, she looked glorious. She wore her korowai, her traditional Māori feathered cloak, with such grace and mana. Then, 3 weeks later, I received a devastating phone call, one I will never forget. Rena had died. Suddenly and unexpectedly, she had died due to some health complications. Within the next 6 months, another two members of our 2011 cohort would also pass away. The absolutely divine Sean McKinney and the incomparable Peter Taylor. Over the next 10 years, we lost many more leaders to illness and, very sadly, also to suicide. None of us would ever get used to this reality of leadership development in the Access space. It remains a heartbreaking reality to this day. Little did we know that my own future and my health were also soon to be in the balance. I was now at terribly great risk, and everything we had worked so hard to build up was under threat.
I do so hope you enjoyed listening to my book and podcast series, Blindingly Obvious. It has been an absolute privilege to be able to share this with you. Listen out for the next chapter coming soon. If you would like to purchase the entire book in audio or an array of other accessible formats, including New Zealand Sign Language, or to learn more about my work, visit my website, minib.co.nz. Thank you for taking the time to listen and to be with me. See you next time. With love, Minnie B.